Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review, a chance to reflect on the past 7 days. Once again, our focus is on the very sad stories surrounding Kayleigh Anthony and Hayley Cummings, two cases that have captivated the hearts of many. Joining me on the panel this week is my lovely wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone.
And from the wilds of Oregon, Ms. Pickles. Hi, Pickles. How's the weather?
It's nice.
And lastly, from Sin City, Nevada, we have author, crime writer, and broadcaster, Denny Griffin. Denny, good to have you on the show again.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Our switchboard is open, and we would love to hear from our listeners. That would be you people. The number to dial is area code 646-378-1120. Okay, on with the show. Let's start with the Kayleigh Anthony case. This week, masses and masses of documents and pictures were released. Pickles, what's your take on the week?
Well, I missed the day that they released the documents, but I've seen a lot of the pictures, and I mean, I've already even seen most of them. They're not. I heard that they're just stalling on the pictures. The woohoo pictures.
There was nothing earth shocking.
Not at all.
I don't think that it was worth the time that was spent in court to try to get them blocked.
Well, that's not all the pictures, I don't think.
No, but it's just, I'm just saying, though, that what they have released, I don't see what the problem was with them. There was bad ones, like with the skulls and all that kind of stuff, but, I mean, it's nothing embarrassing to her so far.
Yeah.
Denny, what's your thoughts on the evidence that was released?
A couple of things. First of all, as I think Jane was just saying, I didn't think the items, the photos were that bad. And I'm wondering if maybe Baez and company, Jose Baez and the other, the Dream Team too, are filing some motions for public relations purposes. In other words, you know, big brother's really abusing authority and power here, and we're just a little guy fighting to try to get a fair shake. Because I'm not sure some of the motions that are filed have much validity to them. And I don't know if they're just attention getters and build a little bit of sympathy maybe toward Casey that she's really up against it.
I think it's more like a focus to get the focus away from another thing or something else. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's like he's doing this, piddling with the little stuff to get the attention away from other stuff.
Mm-hmm. He walked into court and basically his argument was that the pictures, which as I understand it, were stored on the World Wide Web,
right.
You know, not a tremendously secure place to keep private information, a place called Photo Bucket. Maybe the woman shouldn't have put those pictures there in the first place.
Well, I think that there's more pictures. I think that they're stalling on a lot of the pictures because of what Sean said on his last radio show that she's selling a lot of pictures to pay her defense team.
Yeah, but they were ordered to release them.
I know, but I don't know what's going on with them, but there has to be more pictures because when they were in court for that, the judge, Rodriguez, is that his name, the little soft-spoken guy?
Yeah, that did this one,
says,
yeah.
They handed him some of the pictures, and his eyes got big, and they said that some of the pictures were, like, really, really they didn't say good taste, but racy, and that there has to be more going on with those pictures than they're letting on. I mean,
so
I don't know.
What you're trying to tell us is they're not family snaps.
No, they're probably like the one that we've seen there on the blog back in November, and it was
They're very sleazy.
They're very sleazy. Honestly, she's giving a guy a blowjob on the beach. That's what was going on. They're dirty, dirty pictures.
That's amazing.
But if she's going to put these on the web to begin with, how can they say they're going to embarrass her? If she's
putting them
on the web to for other people to see, even if it is a private site, people get their hands on this kind of thing. And once you put it online, that's it. You can forget it because anybody can, I mean, if they really want to see them, they can get to see them. And going into court saying that these photos will embarrass his client is just going to make people want to see him more.
She should be embarrassed.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, bringing the attention to it is just going to bring them more wanting to go in. And whether they say it's private or not, people know how to get into these kind of things.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, we already have a caller on the line, someone coming in from area code 417. They're obviously avid photographers. So what is your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, everybody. This is Nikki from Joplin, Missouri. And I saw the pictures, too. I'd seen some of them before. But I don't mean to change the subject, but I wanted to know what everybody thought about Lee Anthony's deposition.
His what?
He's a dog.
That was so weird.
I thought he was really way off line. I mean, out of line to begin with, to be laughing like he did, like this is all such a big joke.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to him made me. It just turned my stomach. Just listening to him, much less watching him.
I don't think he did anything to help his sister by that deposition.
He's coming back and saying that now they're going to try and say that, you know, she hurt her at Blanchard Park and had a script to write and all that. That's ridiculous.
It's totally, they don't know what they're going to do. It seems like everything that they try, when it doesn't work, they come up with another plan.
And now they're going to try and blame that other boyfriend of hers.
Yeah, well, I've always said that they're going to wind up trying to blame one of her friends because they've already tried to blaming her friend Amy. And Jesse Grun, I mean, they're going to go down the line with all her friends and try to see if they can find something that'll catch on, you know.
Reasonable doubt. And
right,
then also, I think her parents are better. Why can't they just answer some questions? I mean, I don't think they...
Her parents sure didn't look like they were any problem with them when they were in court with her.
They looked fine to me.
Exactly. They seemed very stable.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy didn't have no problem chewing her gum. She looked like she had even had her hair done.
Yeah, her hair was pretty neat.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it looked like she had her hair cut and done, styled.
Yeah.
It was not a hair out of place. She didn't look like she was hurting or suffering at all to me.
Do you think they'll get a psychological thing from their doctor just to do that?
George will, but I don't think he should.
Went to that hospital for 11 days. That's his,
I mean,
that, if
you know, who, they must really work miracles at that hospital to take 11 days to cure him from suicidal. I mean,
give me a room.
Right? That's a miracle to me. I've never seen anybody get cured that fast.
I'll bet the doctor walked into the room and said, "Hallelujah!"
Yeah, it's a miracle. I mean, I have never seen anybody healed that fast.
Never seen a family have so many lawyers.
That's another thing too. Every time you turn around, one of them's got another lawyer or spokesperson or something to talk for them. And
they have a new lawyer for Jose Baez about, accident reconstruction.
I've got a thought or two about that man.
We're going to get on to him in just a little while. Okay, one of the things that seems to me that happened this week is that among the huge amount of evidence that was released was also a videotape. Now, it's not clear to me that it was part of the offense. It seemed to me to be part of the defense. And it's a video of Casey playing with Kaylee. And everything is happy and nice, and everyone's getting along just fine. Denny, do you think this was an attempt to mitigate the damage done by the photo bucket pictures?
I do. And before I forget, I'd like to jump back to the Lee Anthony depot for just a second.
Sure.
Am I correct in that his lawyer advised him not to answer some of the questions? Isn't there going to be a decision made from the judge shortly whether or not he has to answer those questions?
I don't know. I don't know about his, but I know they're asking the judge to force Casey to answer.
Depositions are strange critters, and the rules of engagement change from state to state. I'm not sure that they can force him to answer those questions.
I don't know. The way I understood it, that, like, you can't plead the fifth unless you're being charged with something or something to that effect. I don't really know how it works.
It'll be interesting. You know, like Simon said, each jurisdiction has different rules.
Right.
But I would like to see him, because I don't know what grounds he can get by without answering. I'm not quite sure what he can use to avoid answering. And, yes, I do think, Simon, that was a rehab attempt about, you know, showing Casey
as the loving
mother.
To make her look like a
good mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to tell you, with all this evidence that came out this past week, I wrote a posting on my blog, and I said nothing positive for Casey. And what I meant by that is ever since the story first broke back in July, I've been waiting for people to come forward, particularly not so much George and Cindy or Lee, but friends of Casey's, and give her somebody with glowing endorsements of her as a person.
Something positive. Really.
Yeah, you know, oh, God, she was such a sweetheart, always there with a shoulder to cry on if anybody had trouble.
There's no way Casey could have done this.
Yeah, and I just haven't heard that now, but it's a funny thing. I've had one commenter on my blog who's been on two or three times commenting about that post, and she's obviously a Casey Anthony supporter. And her contention is this. She makes one claim that that the prosecution case is going down because there are now 12 either jail personnel and or police officers, including the investigating detectives, who have all admitted to having had sexual relations with Casey.
And
now that's all news to me. I'm sure I'd have heard about that somewhere.
I haven't heard anything like that.
I heard something about that licorice thing.
Would have been on
thing.
CNN.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Nancy Grace would have had a field day with that one.
Oh, God, yeah. So I'm, you know, I don't know for sure just where this commenter is coming from, but it's she obviously has other sources that I don't have access to.
Right.
Oh, well, I heard.
No, they're what you call unreliable sources.
I just can't imagine that.
Okay, I just want to break in really quickly here and tell our listeners that we do have open lines on our switchboard, and the number to call in with your questions and comments is area code 646-378-1120, and we are looking forward to taking your calls. So why did Baez try and prevent the photo bucket pictures? To me, sounded like a absolutely pointless effort. You know, with the sunshine laws, there was no way a judge was going to stop that.
I don't know what he was thinking. I think he just needed another excuse to whine.
Yeah, you know, Jane, I think, may have hit it. He's trying to deflect attention from somewhere else or looking for sympathy. But yeah, I'm not sure what the motivation is, but everybody seems to think they were pointless efforts, just tying up court time unnecessarily.
He's just dragging
now,
he out.
He has succeeded in at least temporarily derailing the release of the jailhouse video when Casey heard the news that a body had been discovered. And apparently he has 15 days to review the video and come up with some great reason why this should not be part of the discovery.
I'm not sure he should have. I don't think they should have gave him that chance, because they offered him the chance before and he refused it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he claims that it's because he did, once he received it and viewed it, it would have been made public. I think that that's a bull. Just like the thing with the, whenever they found Kaylee's remains, he refused to go to the crime scene when they offered it to him, and then he whined because he didn't have the chance to go and investigate his own. And
or like with all the Kaylee sightings, remember the CDs
right.
full of them, and he just
mm-hmm.
left them at the police station?
Right, that's okay. I mean, what is the deal with him? They offer him the case. They offer him to be able to be a part of this or that, and then when he turns it down. But then he wants to go crying to the judges that they didn't give him the chance to do it. And they give it to him. I don't understand that whenever they know that he was offered the chance and he turned it down. Why do they keep bowing down to him, to every request the man makes, almost?
Could it be they're looking forward to a conviction and then an appeal, and they're
yeah.
trying to cover...
That's the only thing I can think of, is that they're trying to keep it from being,
mm-hmm.
giving them a good reason for an appeal or whatever.
Well, I'm pretty certain that's why the judge has demanded that Casey be in attendance for all pre-trial
hearings.
Well,
that is why he
mm-hmm.
ordered her to show up.
Yeah,
so that way she can't say, well, I didn't know what was going on. My attorney didn't do this or my attorney didn't do that.
My attorney did this without
right.
my consent.
My knowledge.
Right.
You know, which is instant grounds for
right.
appeal. So.
But still, to get your way and to want to waste all the taxpayers' money by going into the courts with all this when he didn't need to do it to begin with, it just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be allowed.
Did they ever have a ruling for those records for the Texas Equa Search? I saw him in there too. Did they ever?
No, they didn't get that.
No.
Yeah, they.
I don't think, he didn't get it from Florida. They told him that he would have to go to Texas to find
okay.
that. And I think he just figured it wasn't worth it or something.
The
I'd like if that could have been another one.
Because I never heard anything else, yeah.
Right. So there's no challenge.
Okay, the Dream Team, as they are being called.
Dream Team wannabes.
Right. Dream Team in the making, have acquired a new person, Todd Macaluso, and he came out with the best quote this week. She should not be in jail right now.
Accidentally did it.
Well,
yeah.
what I'm interested in, and Denny's my expert on things legal. This bozo, oops, sorry, that's the other guy, Byers. This particular attorney specializes in aircraft disasters. Is this going to be the new defense? The top mum, the top was hit by a flying piece of aircraft debris?
I'm sure that probably is lurking about somewhere as a plan F for G or whatever. But
tried everything else. Why not?
Yeah, maybe with his expertise on aircraft. I mean, part of aircraft disasters are I assume, from a lawyer's perspective about showing that the client was on the plane and blah, blah, blah. And maybe they're going to get the old something to do with Annie taking Kaylee on an aircraft somewhere. Maybe
they're throwing
the aircraft
there.
Back.
Man, that's ridiculous.
I think it goes back to the letter from Lemonin. Remember, if the body is found, then she most definitely died accidentally from sedatives, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, but you know, they're going to say, either one way or the other, they're going to say she accidentally killed her, or Zanny accidentally killed her, or something to that effect.
How are they going to get away with, go back, lied so much about Zanny. I don't understand.
If they come out and say that Casey did this, accidentally, I don't care what the situation is now. It's too late. If it was an accident, she should have owned up to it from the very beginning and not hid it. There's no excuse. If she was scared, big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's too bad for her. If she was that scared, she still should have turned it over and called the police
right when
it happened. If
it
was
an
accident, you don't go to jail for murder if it was an accident.
Let me ask a question here. I'm curious now. You know, we joke a little bit about what the defense is going to do, what their actual strategy is going to be once they hit the courtroom. But I'm wondering, now the lawyers themselves, they can make an opening statement and closing argument and all that, but they can't actually testify. So I'm wondering if, you know, Baez, for example, or whoever gives the opening statement, could throw some things out there about Zanny the nanny or, you know, an aircraft mishap or whatever. But they're going to have to introduce some type of evidence to support whatever he throws out. And I'm not sure who they're going to use, what witnesses, to get this stuff into the court, actually into the courtroom and into the record. Who's going to come forward and testify that Zanny the nanny was involved or whatever, whatever the defense ends up being?
Oh, it is definitely a tough one. I'm no criminal lawyer, but if you look at where the defense is headed, at least in my mind, the only credible witness they have is Dr. Henry Lee. I'm not sure what his credibility is these days, having got O.J. Off the hook.
I don't know.
Whatever happened to Kobe? I haven't seen him on TV lately. Is he?
He's still involved, though. I can't remember where I read it, but I read on one of the things with this after all this new stuff come out that he was making a statement about the DNA or something to do with the forensics. So apparently he is still in the picture. I thought maybe since he dropped out, since we didn't hear nothing more about him, that he was off of it. But apparently he's still involved in it.
Kobe had had enough of being beaten up by
Nancy
Grace.
Well, yeah, I probably did.
He was almost a co-host with Nancy Grace for a while. I mean, he was on every single night.
I hadn't seen him for a while.
Yeah, and getting mercilessly beaten.
Did you guys see in the stuff that was released that Tony Lazzara wore a wiretap of cover with Lee?
Yeah.
Get Lee, stuff.
And all Lee wanted to talk about was Tony and Casey's relationship. Like, she was obsessing over him, and he wasn't even her only boyfriend then, I guess.
No, I don't guess.
Well, poor him. They're going to try and blame him now.
Yeah, well, they're going to try to pin it on everybody. I mean, anybody that they think that they can get away with it. Her story changes. I mean, apparently it must be changing. And, I mean, because every time you turn around, there's a new line. Something coming out. Not from her mouth, because she won't talk to the public, but, I mean, through her sleazebag lawyer. So,
Jen, you said something interesting earlier today before we went on air about Tony Lazzaro, I think his name is.
Yeah.
The story about the laptop.
Yeah, he said he told in one of the reports that after Kaylee was gone, nobody knew that she was gone, but but Casey, though. And he said he woke up in the middle of the night or the next morning or sometime of the night. I don't know what time it was, but Casey was sitting on the edge of the bed with the laptop looking at the last video that was taken of Kaylee with her great-grandfather when she was sitting on the man's lap, and she was whimpering like. Yeah, he said that it was the sort of crying that you don't have tears with, though. And they they asked him, well, you know, was it a heavy cry or deep cry or whatever? And he said, well, no, he said, because when we was going to break up or something to that effect, he was going to leave town or something. She just went hysterical, and he said it was nothing like that. He said this is like her crying with no tears. It was like maybe her guilt, or either that or she was looking at it and saying, all right, I ain't got to fool with you no more, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but I did find that was kind of weird, too, especially when he said it was like her crying with no tears.
Okay, we have another caller coming in from the 251 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hey. No, I was just thinking about this thing about her changing her story. She's changing it now from Nanny having the baby at the park.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I just don't understand why she's doing that, because she told police that she left her at the apartment.
That's because there's cameras at the apartment, right?
Yeah. Well, she's saying that now, mostly, though, is because the reason she said it this way is because they were instructing her on exactly what to say, not to call anybody for 30-somewhat days, and that to do exactly like they said, or they would hurt Kaylee, or her mother, or her father, or somebody in her family, or even her. And so to protect her family, she had to keep this quiet. But then the 30-something days were up, so now she could talk about it, but that's it. I mean, no.
Well, I think the real reason that she said change it, though, is because they had camera footage of the sawgrass, and they said that she wasn't on video, didn't they?
It's very possible,
yeah.
But I'm just saying this is what her story was, that the reason that she couldn't say that she was at the park with him at first. And
didn't she tell that story when she got out of jail? She told the police she knew that she'd be caught, so she made for another one when she got home.
It's
so
unbelievable.
Can she
be
allowed?
Like whenever she was going at Universal? When they were going down the hallway to her office, gets at the end and turns around and tells them, okay, you got me. I lied to you. I don't work here. She waited until she could not get out of it, until she admitted she was lying. And then Lee sit there and tell on his deposition, I believe everything my sister said.
Oh, please.
So are they going to allow her to say that she left the baby at the park now?
I guess. Well, nobody knows for sure what way they're going to go with this. I mean, they're not. They're just definitely holding on top of it.
There's something else that I came up with in that 0-3 months and timer 55. I was just filling around with a piece of paper, and that's exactly 6 months with 5 days left over from the time Kaylee went missing because they found her body. I think that's a secret code between her and Lee.
No. God, he said it was 30 days to her birthday or so he's lying.
Yeah, they
he's
made
lying.
Up a story about that, but they were lying, because if you sit down with a pencil and paper and add this up, it will show you that it goes from July the 16th to when her body was found with 5 days left over.
In other words, they had it figured out that they didn't think there would be anything left to her.
Right.
A decomposition timer?
Right. Her body
would
have been.
That's what I said a long time ago, I thought.
Well, I still think they had it all. I think if it was planted, if the body was planted there, it was planted there for a reason, and this could be it.
Yeah. Well, see, right after that, when they found the body, right before they found the body was when the detectives came into the picture. And they had the detectives back there looking. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my opinion, we should probably rechristen Casey Anthony. Let's call her Pinocchio Anthony.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
conspiracy theory.
Right, and right about now, she needs a larger cell.
Hey, Simon.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, you and the others here on the lines, in case my memory is faulty. I think this last batch of stuff from this past week, the document dump, there was something in there that Casey indicated she had wanted to cooperate with the authorities, but that she felt they were trying to trick her into a confession, and therefore she wasn't going to do it. Now, if Danny the nanny and so forth did all this, what was she going to confess to?
That's a good question, because, I mean, she doesn't make any sense. I mean, she says one thing and then something like that. Like you said, if she's not guilty, what would she been able to be tricked to confess into?
Absolutely, it's
mm-hmm.
You know, it's very tough to make any sense out of almost anything you hear from that, and not just her, but the whole group of them. I mean, it's really...
Well, I'd like to know what makes them think anybody's going to believe her now anyway.
Even if
after all the lies that she told, why would anybody even believe her?
If she's destroyed any credibility she might have had.
Right.
I think she thinks that she's smarter than everybody else, and
exactly.
If she says it, then, you know, everybody is stupid, and we're just going to believe her. And
not only
you know.
That, but her lawyers are making her think, oh, they're going to get her
mm-hmm.
off this. Just stay
and
calm.
I
how
think
else can you be so calm? I mean, seriously, how can you be this calm?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your medical, you know, your medical problems are. You just can't be this strong and calm to be able to and sit there and be able to laugh and joke around and flirt with your lawyer
yeah.
in a courtroom
yeah.
and smile at your parents. I mean, you can't act like that. If I just don't think anybody can.
I think she's just mean, you know, just mean. Can't somebody be just mean and they have to give you a diagnosis that, you know, of all the stuff they're trying to come up with? And there are
everybody
mean
owes her. She feels like she, you know, she did it. She should be able to get away with it. Kaylee was just a burden to her anyways.
Mm-hmm.
What's it matter?
Yeah.
You know, why
everything was taken from her.
Exactly. You know, why?
No.
She just don't give a rasp behind about nothing. She thinks that this is all Kaylee's fault. I guarantee you that's all she thinks about. She doesn't even have a picture
mm-hmm.
of her daughter
yeah.
in her cell.
She probably also still blames her mother for calling 911 and starting all of it to begin with.
She would have never said nothing either.
I don't think she would have.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'd just
no.
With her life, happy as a lark, and no
somebody would have tripped on Kaylee's little skull on the Chickasaw Trails, and there would have been a baby Jane Doe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
okay.
would have known.
Okay, we're going to move on to the other hot story of the week, but before we do that, two things. I really want to hear from our listeners, and our number is area code 646-378-1120. And I have one last comment about the Kaylee Anthony story. The pictures on Photo Bucket, there were a number of them that featured skeletons.
Mm,
we touched on this earlier on in the broadcast. The psychiatrists of the world would have an absolute field day. Expert witness?
Expert witness?
Oh,
I distracted him here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, she's waving pieces of paper at me.
No, but anyway, it's they found on there is they got one picture of two skulls, like, kissing each other. Is that what you're talking about?
There's more than two
and then,
pictures.
I said there was one that had the two of them kissing each other, and another one of Kaylee with a heart on it, that's similar to the heart, like, that was placed on the duct tape on the mouth of the skull.
And
also,
all of these pictures were uploaded after the date that Kaylee went missing.
You know what bothers me about the picture of Kaylee with the sticker, like the heart by it, is Tio Marie said that they used to bury their dead animals over there in bags and put stickers on them. Like, so Kaylee was just a pet to her that she just, you know, decided to kill and bury. I mean, that's what bothers me about it. Like, and you know what is messed up? It's all these people that she thinks are her friends are going to testify to this at her court, and that's what's going to damn her.
I hope, I think she's just kind of twisted. I don't know.
You can guarantee that when this ever does wind its way finally into a courtroom, that the prosecution are going to bring up some expert witness, a psychologist, who is going to tell us all about the significance of those skull pictures. Just guarantee it. Okay, let's move on. The other hot story of the week is the little missing girl, Haley Cummings. Completely different story, appears to be completely different story from Kaylee Anthony. Pickles, I know you follow this case fairly closely. What happened this week?
Well, I guess they requested DNA samples from other family members besides her mother, Crystal. They got them from Ron and even Misty, and I guess some people involved with the case. I'd imagine her grandparents, and I don't know who else, but they really didn't. They just said Crystal and Misty and Ron, and they released the home as a crime scene.
The DNA test, that was basically, though, I believe from the way I read it, that in case they found something, that they would have the match available, so, I guess, to save time.
They said that I read that they told Mary Griffith, Haley's biological grandmother, that law enforcement, the investigators told her that they don't have anything that Haley, like, no clue.
They don't know where to go.
Do you believe that?
Well, you know, I can believe it because, I mean, there's a lot of speculation as to what happened. Did her mother do it because of wanting custody? Did her dad do it because of a little bit of trouble against kids? Was somebody obsessing over them, over her secretly, and they just didn't have the first clue? There's nothing there. I guess law enforcement doesn't really have anything to go by except for what Junior says, which is like this little 3 or 4 year old boy says that a man in black took Haley.
Yeah, that's not much to go on, though.
And you know, I've seen the inside of Haley's home.
Mm-hmm.
Her little bed, her little mattress is like maybe 3.5 feet away from the bed that Misty was sleeping in. And there is, I don't know.
It's really hard to imagine somebody coming in and picking a child up in the same room. I mean, when Simon gets out of bed at night, I wake up. I'm like, where are you going? And he'd say, well, my goodness, I'm just getting up, you know. It's like just a tiny bit of noise I hear. So I just cannot imagine somebody coming in and taking a child off of a mattress that's 3.5 feet away from me, and me not hearing it.
What I noticed, though, when they did a tour of her house there on that Nancy Gray show, the back screen door was the one propped open, because you know how when you open a door, sometimes the screen door will slam shut really loud? It was the screen door that was propped open, but the other door doesn't do that. It just kind of shuts a little bit. And, you know, maybe somebody did take her if they wanted to quiet the screen door, obviously.
Okay, but there is another question on my part.
Uh-huh.
they claimed at first when all this happened, Ron said that whenever they opened that back door, that it was hard to open. It wasn't easy to open.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, to me, in my mind, that would mean that it would make a little bit of noise to
yeah.
open in it. Okay, if they had the screen door open, I can understand them leaving it like it was. But how, if they never opened that back door, on rare occasions, how come it was opened that night with no noise made? That is what something that bothers me. Because he specifically said he had only used it two, maybe three times since he had moved there. And, okay, if it was that hard to open, how could somebody else had to be inside the house to begin with to go out to be able to open that door.
Someone could have been hiding in that house.
Didn't Misty finally say that she left the door open because she was smoking a cigarette?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
I didn't hear that one.
I didn't either. But, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. There's so much of it that's going on that you just don't, it just doesn't all add up.
No. This is Joe they're talking about, but
that's Misty's cousin, isn't it? That's a child or something.
They ruled him out.
They were reinvestigating him again.
I think
they have not.
Go ahead.
Oh, they haven't ruled anybody out.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't think they've actually ruled anybody out yet. I don't think they don't have a person of interest yet. But I don't think that, I think that they're leaving it open for anybody. But, I mean, he would be a good situation, a good choice of mine to really check into if I was going to be checking into anybody. But I don't know.
Was he even in town then?
Was it him that was visiting? Or who was it that was
visiting?
Yes,
it was him that was visiting.
Oh.
And
yeah,
he
I
left about
so.
The same time she came up missing.
Right. That's what I thought they had said. That's why I would be investigating this man. I mean, really going into really some heavy investigation. And, I mean, maybe he's clean, but I would want to make sure he's clean first.
Did they have to go back into the house? Or because that guy said that the property that was private, their property, and they couldn't camp out there anymore. Did you guys hear that?
No,
her
dad, they got a trailer donated to them. And but Ron won't move back into that home knowing his daughter was taken out of there.
Okay, now I can't understand that. They said that they're looking for a new home to move out of this one. You see, now maybe I'm wrong, but I know this little girl is really small, but I would be afraid that she would find her way back home.
I know, that just pulled my heart out.
There, and nobody be there, and then she wouldn't know where to go. I mean, that's the thought that comes through my head. When I read that, I'm like, how could they even think of leaving it until this child's found? I mean, that would be my thought. I couldn't leave until I knew for sure.
Well, I know somebody that... I know somebody that doesn't like... Go ahead.
You know, they might want to bring the baby back, and if they're not there, they're going to say, well, where do I bring her, those are the kind of things that I would think of. I would not be able to. I can understand him, having the creeps about living there again or being back inside the house, but I think in my heart I would have to be for her there.
Denny, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
You've followed many, many crime cases, and when it comes to missing children, if they're not found quickly, generally speaking, they're not found. The cops are saying they're not giving up, but we're getting the impression that they are stymied. Is this a smokescreen? Are they just operating a different game from, let's say, the way they did the Kaylee Anthony case?
Well, I'm not sure what information they're holding confidential. They probably have certain leads and certain suspicions that they're pursuing, and they're not announcing that to the public. But You know, and I suppose publicly they got to say we're not giving up. They can't, I guess, raise their hands and say we're throwing in the towel. But I believe they're in trouble as far as the investigation goes. I don't think the whatever they've had so far has panned out. Anything has, and they're still looking. But you know, the actual ground searches and so forth. I think that's pretty much.
They just don't know where to go now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're, you know, they got to keep up the public image that they're trying. I mean, they are trying, but they're trying to solve it. I don't think. I have a suspicion, if you could get into the heads of the actual investigators, the people charged with the investigations, that they're probably not very optimistic about the results of this thing.
I'm inclined to agree with you on
that.
Sad
as it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I recently talked to an ex-FBI agent. Actually, he was in charge of both the hunt for the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski and the Olympic bomber Eric Rudolph. And this guy and his profiler are sharp cookies. Right? They know how to find people. And he pretty much said what you said, Denny.
It's sad.
This can
happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, of course, you know, live in Las Vegas, so I tend to partake in games of chance every so often. And being a betting man, if I had to bet on this thing, you know, and I get no pleasure in saying this, but just being realistic, I would have to put my money on that this is not going to come to a good end as far as the missing girl goes. I mean, I suppose you can say, well, okay, if they find out who did it and get a successful prosecution, then that's a good thing. Well, it would be, but as far as the safety of the young girl and getting her back and so forth, I would be, I'd have to think the odds are against that.
Most child abductions fall into one of two categories. It's the estranged spouse or other family member, or it's a complete wacko. In this case, it seems to be the complete wacko. I mean, there isn't a family member that really leaps out.
The question, I've given this quite a bit of thought to, looking for motives, and as with Kaylee, there was never any ransom or anything. So, I mean, you got to pretty much rule out, I think, the what I always figured the traditional kidnapping, where you're looking for money, where you're trying
right.
to get money out of the mm-hmm. out of the family. And I don't think this family would be a lucrative target to begin with, even if you were inclined to try to get money. So what's that leave? Revenge, possibly. I know there was some speculation about a drug deal gone bad or money owed for drugs, that type of thing. But, you know, I'm not sure if there's any validity to that. And then you've got the sexual predator angle. And but, you know, if somebody knew about leaving that, you know, the screen door, the back door slamming shut and knew to put a cinder block there to block it and so forth, and somebody had to know that the girl lived in that house. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so this wasn't somebody
and
from...
And where at? Where she would be sleeping.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it had to be somebody. And I'm not accusing any family member, but it had to be somebody that had at least some knowledge
mm-hmm.
of that house, that the girl was there. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, some stranger wasn't just having to be on that street and say, oh, I think I'll break in this house and see what I can
right.
find.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, oh, there's no jewels. Oh, maybe I'll just steal the child.
Yeah. No sense wasting the trip. I might as well get something out of it.
Wow.
Or maybe somebody who had been in there with him before, you know, and
yeah,
party.
Somebody that knew it, the layout and everything.
Yeah.
So you take, even if you had one of these, what was there, 44 registered sex offenders within a mile or something of the house, and that certainly is an attention getter. But even at that, even if they're living that close, as we've been talking, they still would need to have some familiarity with the layout of the house and who would be there, and that the father would be at work. And I mean, there's all these kinds of things that it had to be a little more, I think, than just somebody who lived in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be somebody with a certain amount of knowledge.
Knew that he was gone.
Yeah.
It was not happenstance.
Right.
It wasn't someone just sort of walking up and going, oh, here's a screen door. Oh, I'll bet it slams. You know, let me get a cinder block to prop it open. And I watched the Nancy Grace episode where they walked through the house. And it's a mobile home. And I've got nothing against mobile homes. In fact, Jen and I lived in one for quite some time. But they do squeak and they do groan and they have a life of their own. I cannot imagine anyone being able to sneak through a double wide without making some noise.
No, that would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, the little girl went to school, so if she picked her up at school, we don't know how she got home, if she rode a school bus or if she had to pick her up. But if she had to pick her up, then she would have had to left the mobile home. Someone could have been watching her and went in and just waited.
Maybe somebody was obsessing over Haley that nobody knew about. Maybe somebody seen that she was a pretty little girl and that she wasn't, you know, she ran around and did whatever she, you know, wanted, and maybe somebody was watching Haley. Yeah, maybe
somebody
watched her.
Right. Maybe somebody noticed that they didn't keep an eye on the real close, and she'd be an easy target or something.
Maybe they watched enough to know that the screen door slammed, and you know, like, I mean, I didn't know, but when I found out they were searching a construction dumpster, it made my heart sink because, you know, there's this killer that they never ever caught, and he's from Alabama. They call him the anniversary killer.
Mm.
And he abducts low-income girls from trailer parks, and they believe that he's a construction worker because there's always a construction site nearby, and they believe he's a construction worker. He's been the only difference between Haley and the other three cases from Alabama is the age and the time of year. That's the only difference.
That's crazy.
And, you know, what if somebody was obsessing over Haley and you know, nobody knows? Like, it's, I don't know.
I don't know if any of you guys ever had anything like this happen to you, but one time I got a phone call, and it was a guy, and he told me he was watching me through my bedroom window.
Hey.
I freaked. It was about a week later. There was a man in our house, and my son went in first, and he was like a statue. He could not move because he saw this man, and I had to run down the hall and grab him and drag him to the front door. Our house had an unusual layout, and it was very easy for him to hide in there. And if he hadn't saw him, there's no telling what would have happened.
Right.
Scary.
Lucky for that.
Ooh. That doesn't sound like a fun thing.
No, it sure isn't.
So you never know what's going on in someone else's mind.
That's true.
Never.
So I also understand that the Cummings family have been asked to move their nightly vigils.
Yeah, they said that they were told they couldn't have them where they were anymore, so they were going to have to find another place for them.
Where? Why?
I don't know. I don't really know that much about it. Have anybody else heard about it?
Yeah, they wanted to change the time. Well, this is what I read, because they wanted people to be able to get back and take care of their kids and have dinner and everything in a decent time.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, where they'll go.
I don't know either. I have not. Well, it's going to be, I mean, what is it hurting, you know? I don't understand the reason for that. Why is it hurting anything for them to have their vigils? Unless it's because they don't want the crowds, or I don't imagine it was any violence involved in it like it was with Kaylee's situation, but I just can't understand why it hurts Well, why are they insisting that they're not allowed to do this anymore where they were doing it at?
Okay, folks, I'm going to break in one more time. We're about 5 minutes from the end of the program, so if you've been putting off calling in, now's definitely the time to do it while we're still on the air. And the number to call is area code 646-378-1120. Now, it seems to me that the two cases we've been talking about today are very, very different in the way that they're being approached. Does anyone know of any spokespeople or lawyers that are representing the Cummings family?
Nope. You haven't heard none of them run out and get a lawyer right away before they talk to the investigators or whatever to make sure they don't say the wrong thing.
There was an interesting article I read. I believe it was on Fox News, and it was comparing and contrasting the two cases, and they brought up an ugly subject: the difference in social strata. You have the Anthonys that are definitely middle class and completely wacko, and you have the Cummings. They're just blue collar. They probably, like me, live paycheck to paycheck. You know, why the difference?
They shouldn't be compared. I don't think it has anything to do
why
with
are they even comparing them?
Right.
They
shouldn't even be compared.
Completely different.
It's their social standards, their financial situation, or nothing like that should even be brought up, because that has nothing to do with this little girl being grabbed. It has nothing to do with why she's getting any, or why they are getting any kind of publicity out of this. It's a missing child. No matter what kind of a family background she's got, she's missing. And she deserves just as much right as somebody with a lot of money or a high standard to be found. And
I think some people are jaded because of what, you know, with the Kaylee Anthony case, you know, people wanted to believe in everything and, you know, they were lied to. So it happens again, people that went through that again or, you know.
Well, not only that, they have automatically been put into a different class, and it's not fair. It's not right.
No.
They shouldn't have been, because they shouldn't be judged by what they don't have or what they, you know, what little they have. They're struggling people. That in this day and age, people have to struggle to have things. We're not fortunate, or they're not fortunate like the Anthonys are, to have people, I mean, bailing them out every time they turn around and get in financial trouble. They're not that fortunate to have money. They can't go 6 to 8 months of their life without working and still make their mortgage payment. And, I mean, it's people just can't go do it like they can.
Were the Cummings just renting that mobile home, or did
they? No,
they
bought it, I believe.
They
just bought it not very long ago. So he was, he was a hardworking guy. You know, he worked for a living. He didn't sit back and wait for handouts. And like I said, when this come up, you don't see them go off and get a lawyer somewhere.
I know.
And they slept in tents. You know, they didn't expect anybody to put them up at hotels because they couldn't sleep in their home. That alone tells me about something about these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted to be there for their baby. And she was
sad.
I got a question. You know how Casey Anthony used to show up for court in her prison attire there? Did they try to make us say that they needed to allow? Why did she start showing up in suits and stuff? Is it because didn't the defense team complain about her having to wear prison uniform to court?
Yeah, I think
they keep changing her look.
It's to make her look different.
Uh-huh.
Is what it is. Before they had her two dip business type, not the motherly type.
Yeah.
And now I think they changed back to look innocent.
Okay,
so
we're in the last 10 seconds of the broadcast. I want to thank our panel, Jan Barrett.
Thank you.
Denny Griffin.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.
And the infamous Ms. Pickles.
Thank you. And
I also want to thank Nikki and Linda.
You're
welcome.
Thank you all very much for calling in.
Yep, thank you
so
much.
Enjoy your show.
And you can guarantee we'll be doing this again next week. This is Simon Barrett signing off for www.bloggernews.net. Have a great week.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.